Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew, and tonight I welcome author of several books, former member of NICAP and MUFON, and he's been involved with UFO and ET research for over 30 years, Mr. Lynn Kasten. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Kasten?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks.
Very good. And I want to thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for taking the time. This is your first appearance on the show. So why don't we go ahead and get a little bit about your background and what got you started with your research?
Well, that's a long story. It actually happened about 30 years ago. When I was in the Air Force, I had an experience involving a UFO that I think had a big effect on my life after that, although I can't recall any of it, and I haven't been hypnotized. So I don't know exactly what happened, but all I know is I was in the Air Force. I ran to the window. I woke up at 3 in the morning and ran to the window to look out just in time to see the craft go by very silently and very, very fast. And I reported it to the UFO office on the base and got into a long conversation with them. And it turned out that they were very interested in that sighting. And that was Operation Blue Book at that time. So that makes me think that I did get sick after that. I had to go into the hospital for 3 days. And apparently I was taken on board the craft. That's the only explanation, because there have been other cases like that where people get sick after an experience like that. And it turns out I was probably taken on board. I don't know what happened, though.
Very interesting. Now, were there any other events after that, any other contact events?
No, not until I got out of the Air Force, which was a week later. That was the last week of my enlistment. And I started working for IBM in Washington, D.C., and I started meeting all the NICAP people, and Larry Bryant especially, who was very knowledgeable, and he gave me all the information about what was going on and who was involved, and that started everything.
Very good. Now, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We live in amazing but strange and terrifying times at the same time, especially with, the advent of the new technology and this new censorship that we're seeing. It seems like it's just new ways to control and spy on us. And then we have this push for transhumanism and AI. Where do you see this relating to our future and possible off-world control on our planet?
Well, Chris, I have to tell you that we have been under off-world control for quite a long time now. And so that's nothing new.
Right.
And as far as transhumanism goes and AI, I wrote a lot about that in my last book, in the last chapter, they're waiting for the singularity. And the singularity definition, according to my understanding, is that when the robots, or let's just say non-human creatures become equal to humans, that becomes the singularity. Because from that point on, we're on equal footing. And we're getting to that point very quickly. And that's what transhumanism is all about. So it's a long story, and I've written a lot about this subject in my new book, which will be coming out in about 2 weeks.
And what was the name of that book again?
Which one? The existing one or the new one?
New one.
The name of the new book is Dark Fleet. The Nazi space armada that controls the solar system. That's the name of the book.
Very good. Yeah, I definitely want to get into that. But I guess a good place to start would be where the control all began. I understand based on your research and many others, you believe it started back in the days of Atlantis. Is that correct?
Well, no, actually, in the days of Atlantis, there was a different human race on this planet. They were much more advanced than we are. We came along later as a race. The human race that was on Atlantis had originally come from Mars, and before that, they came from Lyra. And they were very highly developed spirituality and with technology. Unfortunately, that continent sank beneath the waves about 15,000 years ago. And so the new human race came along after that. So that's the story. And I know it's a hard story to believe, but if you want to read the books by Stuart Swerdlow, you'll get a better idea of it.
When did the malevolent control begin?
Okay. In my last book, I discussed the fact that the reptilians were here before we were. They've been on this planet for a long time, about 150,000 to 200,000 years. They were here when the dinosaurs were here. And as a matter of fact, they used the dinosaurs as a food source. At that point, the Federation, the Human Federation, sent a warlike human, a very fierce warlike human race to this planet to confront the reptilians because they were not willing to give this solar system up to the reptilians. And that started the wars between the humans and the reptilians, which lasted quite a long time. And eventually, the humans forced the reptilians underground, and that's where they stayed. And they've been under there ever since. And so the question then becomes, how have they been able to control us so completely from underground?
Right.
And that's a whole another story. But that is the case. That is the case. That's why we don't have all the technology that we could have. We don't have all the advanced technology that they do. And that's because they basically are in control. And if you read my book, my last book, I talk about the Illuminati, that they were hybrids, human reptilian hybrids.
Right, yes.
And they control all the power centers on this planet. They are the elite. They are the wealthy. They are the bankers. They are the media. They run the show on this planet. We do not run the show on this planet.
Now,
so we're basically under their control.
Now, are the reptilians... You said they had been here for over, say, 500,000 years. Are they originally from this planet, or are they from the Draco constellation?
Yes, they came from the Draco constellation, and it was very advanced. They were there for hundreds of thousands, perhaps even millions of years. That's where they originated in this galaxy, and they've had space-faring technology for thousands of years, and they've been roaming the galaxy in their spaceships, enslaving civilizations wherever they go. And that's what happened here. That's what happened here. However, the Federation fought back and forced them underground. And so ever since, they've been controlling us from underground. And they do control us.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about that, about how they started the process of being able to control us from underground.
Because they've had such advanced technology for thousands of years, where we are just starting to get into it now. We're just starting to, and they've kept us basically in a state of, you might even want to call it slavery, because they've denied us all the technology that we could have. They've kept us from having it. And so it's a long story. And if you read the works of David Icke, you'll get a better feeling for what's going on. David was way ahead of the game in revealing this information. And I would recommend his books, if you can read all of them. It's a lot of reading.
Right. I mean, I remember when he first came out with this, he was just nothing but ridiculed. And now more people are starting to kind of raise an eyebrow to this information. And it's becoming more, you know, people are awakening to stuff that's going on behind the scenes.
That's right. Because he had to go through a lot of ridicule, and he really deserves a lot of credit for having stuck to his guns, because his information was absolutely correct. And I took off in a different direction, and although I use a lot of his material, I was more interested in what was going on with the technology on this planet. Why they've kept the technology from us. They have anti-gravity technology. They have faster than light technology. They can roam the galaxy in their huge spaceships. Whereas they're keeping us here in a sort of semi-enslaved state. They have all the money. They have all the technology. And they don't mind living underground. They're very much at home underground. They have a huge empire down there. They have high-speed trains. They have everything, and they can come in and out when they want to. So that's where we're at right now.
Are they working with our military-industrial complex?
Yes, they are. Absolutely. Absolutely they are. In fact, they're working with the MyLabs program. And all the abductions, all the military abductions are jointly worked out with the reptilians. So that's all top secret stuff. If they start releasing this information and we start to get it, it's going to be a whole new ball game.
Yeah, I want to get into that definitely. But I do want to get into as well a little bit more about the history of it. You had said earlier that the Atlanteans were a different version of humanity. How old is our version of humanity, and were we genetically manipulated by the reptilians to be a certain way, a certain version?
No, the reptilians, the confrontation between human race and the reptilian race began about a million years ago in the constellation of Lyra. The human race in this galaxy originated in Lyra, and they had a very peaceful and agriculturally based society. And on about four or five different planets in that star system, until the reptilians showed up and started a war with the humans, and they slaughtered 50 million. Humans in Lyra, and they destroyed three planets. They have the technology to do that. They can literally destroy a planet with the technology that they have. And so the human race scattered throughout the galaxy after that, and they became like refugees all over. And they eventually settled in 110 different star systems and created what we now know as a Federation. A Federation is a human federation in this galaxy. And when the reptilians came here to this solar system, the Federation sent a very fierce human race here to confront them from Mars. And that started the wars between the reptilians and the humans. And that's when the reptilians went underground. So they were able to use their technology to sink Atlantis, which they did. And Atlantis went down about roughly 15,000 years ago. And so the humans on this planet had to scatter throughout the planet. And there weren't very many of them left because the continent sank to the bottom of the Atlantic, and millions of Atlanteans were slaughtered, were killed. And that was the situation. Until the Federation sent the Atlans here to the solar system. And then the Federation decided to step in, and the Federation really created the human race on this planet. They were the ones that created through 12 different genetic, 12 different races contributed their genetics to the human race. That's the current human race, our human race, which we know now as Homo sapiens sapiens. The Atlanteans were much more advanced than we are, much more, in terms of spirituality, in terms of space travel, and in terms of technology. But when the continent went down, you know, most of them died. And then we came along, and that's where we are now.
Very interesting. Now, there's a lot of confusion as to what actually the creation story of man actually is. There's so many different versions. What are your thoughts on the Anunnaki creation story? And do you consider them to be the reptilians or some other race?
My understanding about the Anunnaki is that they are a reptilian hybrid race, but they're not human, and they didn't create the human race. The human race was created by the Federation. 12 different races contributed their DNA to the creation of the human race, and the purpose of it was for us to take over this planet and force the reptilians to leave. And so that was the confrontation. And as we've gotten more and more sophisticated, we're starting to develop the technology where we could actually be on the same footing as the reptilians. And we've created a sort of a stalemate, because the human race has now gotten very powerful, but they have kept us in ignorance for so long that we're having a hard time getting out of it. But potentially, we are much more powerful than the reptilians, because we have souls that were created in a far distant galaxy. We're much more powerful than they are, but we don't realize it yet. We don't understand it yet.
There is hope, because I do see, you know, more people becoming more awakened, becoming more empathetic, bettering themselves. But yeah, we are a long way from that. But I'd like to move ahead a little bit into the future. And would you agree that, you know, modern day, it was after World War II that our technology started to really grow, after we brought over the German scientists with Project Paperclip, and, you know, everything happened with that? Is that something you'd agree with?
Absolutely, absolutely. The Nazi technology was based on a deal they made with the reptilians. The reptilians helped them from the early days, from 1933 on, to develop a technology. And they had anti-gravity technology, they had flying discs. They had it all from the reptilians. They formed an alliance between the Nazis and the reptilians. And the reptilians helped them, but it was too late to win the war, because we had developed such powerful bombing technology that we were able to destroy Germany, literally reduce it to ashes. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter, because the Nazis, they all went to Antarctica. And the reptilians helped them create an entire colony under the ice, and gave them all the technology. They brought it with them. And that's where they've been ever since. We're just learning that now, but it's still top secret.
And people don't realize that we just dispersed the German scientists throughout our, you know, military industrial complex, NASA, you know, some of the largest, biggest positions out there. And they've basically taken over from the inside. Would you agree?
Absolutely. They took over the banking. They took over the military. Our military started working with them and created what we now call the cabal. So they were part human and part hybrids and part reptilians. And they created an incredible civilization under the ice in Antarctica. And they actually started that settlement a year before World War II even broke out. They created that in 1938. They sent ships all the way across the Atlantic with scientists, with technologists, and they had flying saucers created there under the ice by late 1945 and 46. And that's why when we sent a whole fleet of ships down there to destroy them, they came out of the water, Admiral Byrd, Operation High Jump. They came out of the water and started, they killed about 68 humans in Admiral Byrd's fleet, and they sank, I think, one or two ships. And that's when Admiral Byrd realized that what he was up against, and he turned around and went back to the U.S. So basically, they won that round. And from that point on, they continued building their ships under the ice. In fact, at 1952 sighting over Washington, D.C., are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am. Yes.
There were hundreds of UFOs over Washington.
Right, yeah.
They were all German craft from Antarctica, all of them.
Yes, that's what the theory is.
Yes, they were. And that was to tell us and to warn us that they had the technology and they had the power. And that's why I say that they have basically been in control ever since. We don't realize it. We seem to be free, but we're not free. The whole financial superstructure is based on Nazi technology and the Nazi race under the ice in Antarctica. And from there, they settled colonies on the moon and Mars, and that's where they are now.
Right. And you hear about the one deal that was struck with Eisenhower for alien technology. But according to your research, there was actually two. Is that right?
Actually what? I'm sorry?
I said, according to your research, there was actually two deals struck with Eisenhower with the ETs. One with a humanoid race and one with a reptilian race?
Well, the humanoid race was the first meeting that took place in California at Edwards Air Force Base. And they were the good guys. They came here to help us, and they told Eisenhower that they would give us incredible technology. All they wanted him to do was give up his nuclear weapons. And Eisenhower consulted with his generals. That was early 1952, I believe. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. And so we turned them down. And it was after that that Eisenhower made the deal with the reptilians at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico. That was later in 1952. And that's when they started abducting us, and the abductions began at that point.
Now, after that, also, we had our secret space program going in full-fledged. Is that right?
Well, when you say we, the secret space program was basically run by the Nazis from their underground base in Antarctica. And they, at that point, they had a colony on the moon, they had a colony on Mars, and they were the ones that first started the secret space program. But they had to use a lot of our scientists and a lot of our corporations, and eventually we developed our own secret space program, and we still have it. So now that's where we are. And we have huge spacecraft already that can cruise around the galaxy. And Ben Rich said that before he died. He said, we now have the ability to travel among the stars, and we have the ability to take ET home.
Right.
So, but we're still being controlled by them, because their technology is so far in advance of ours. It's hundreds, if maybe thousands of years ahead of us. Their biotechnology, their quantum computers, they have stuff that we could never dream of at the moment. But we're catching up.
Now, you had mentioned the moon, and you hear theories that the moon is not actually what it's supposed to be. It's actually could be a ship or a base or an artificial device. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, in my book, Alien World Order, I talked about that. I made the point that the reptilians actually dragged that planet that we call the moon. They actually dragged it across the galaxy and put it there. And it's really artificial, the whole thing. The whole thing is artificial. There's a tremendous amount of technology inside the moon. And the Nazis have a huge base on the moon. And they have created huge spaceships on the moon. But we're there too. They haven't been able to get rid of us. So at the moment, there's still a chance that we might be able to reach a point. They are developing transhumanism. Yes, you're right about that. And they're developing cyborgs. And the cyborgs are used to fight all their wars with. They're part human and part machine. So, but we're learning fast, and we're starting to reach the point. We already have the ability to travel outside the solar system. But unfortunately, the Nazi ships control the solar system. So it's a sort of a stalemate has evolved. But we work together. The U.S. military works together with the Nazis, and that created what we call the cabal. And everything they do is top secret.
Now, are there other factions trying to fight against the cabal that are actually not maybe directly involved with this secret space program, but with other factions?
We have friends throughout the galaxy who would like to help us, but they can't. Because we have to do it on our own. They're here to teach us things and to help us with various parts of it. But the cabal still runs this planet and the solar system at this point. They're still in charge. And we are basically in a state of slavery, although it doesn't seem like it, I know. But there's 50% of the human race is living in poverty, but even right now. So, you know, we could live in a paradise here if we had the technology, and they have us under control. That's the situation. We're just not there yet.
They also started the MK Ultra and the Super Soldier program. Is that correct?
Yes, Super Soldier program, definitely. And have you had any Super Soldiers on your show?
I've had three now. Yes, I've had Tony Rodriguez, I've had Randy Kramer, and another gentleman that escapes my my brain right now.
Okay, probably James Casbolt or Randy Kramer is the important guy, and Randy knows the whole story. Okay, did he speak to you about how they work the Funny and Back program?
Yes, we went over it briefly. I talked about it with Tony as well. I have a basic understanding of it, but it's quite amazing from what I understand the way they're able to basically regress you and or transfer your consciousness.
That's why I said they're so far ahead of us. It's unbelievable. Yes, the 20 and Back program, they have the ability to abduct humans and ask them to sign a contract. When they sign the contract, they're drafted into the German or Nazi military, usually on the moon or on Mars, for a 20-year period. Then they're able to, when that 20-year period is over, the contract is ended, they have the ability to age regress them back to the exact age that they were when they took them and wipe their memory clean. And that's what happened with Randy. And that also happened with Tony. But in Tony's case, he was actually a slave, whereas right. Randy was in the military. Randy was in the military on Mars, and he was there for 17 years. And he fought alongside some of the reptilians himself. So it's quite a story. It's really an amazing story. But Randy knows the whole story, and he's the right guy. You had the right guy on for that.
Yeah, definitely. It was fascinating. And to think of, you know, like you said, the technology, the healing technology that he talked about, the way that you could regenerate limbs and basically almost bring you back from death.
Exactly. So actually, if you lose an arm or a leg, they can reconstruct it in a matter of sometimes hours, but usually days. in what they call the regeneration tank. They put them in a regeneration tank, and it reconstructs the missing limb completely, even organs. So that's the kind of technology we're up against here. I mean, when you take that into account and you take the quantum computing, are you familiar with quantum computing? You know what that is?
I know. I'm not familiar with it, but yes, I know what quantum computing is.
Now, a quantum computer can literally run another computer halfway across the galaxy. It works through the quantum plenum, and we're not anywhere near that kind of computing capability. The fastest computer that we have is the one at Los Alamos in New Mexico. And when I wrote my first book about Project Serpo, that computer at Los Alamos was called Cielo, C-I-E-L-O. And let me give you some idea of its power, okay? If you were to hazard a guess of how many computations per second that computer could do, what would you say? Just take a guess.
Oh, probably to the trillions.
Well, that's close. It was a quadrillion.
Wow.
One quadrillion. When I wrote the book, it was one quadrillion floating point computations are long computations. It could do a quadrillion of them per second. Now, can you picture that? That's like magic.
Unbelievable.
That's like magic. That's like magic. And guess what it is now? That was 4 years ago. Guess what it is now?
I couldn't even begin.
Four quadrillion computations per second. You can't even imagine such computing power.
Right. It's unbelievable.
And they have power that exceeds that on the moon and Mars. In their underground base on the moon, they have tremendous technology. So, you know, we reached a point now where the human race is starting to advance and starting to learn these things and starting to fight back. And we're getting more and more help from our friends. But we still have to do it ourselves. We can't rely on them. They will help us with advice and with information, and they're doing that already. But we, this new human race that was only created about 40,000 years ago, what we now call the Adamic race, the Adam and Eve stories supposedly took place around 40,000 years ago. And that's how long we've only been here, 40,000 years. Whereas the Atlanteans, when they were here for, they had been around for hundreds of thousands of years. But unfortunately, Atlantis sank. And a lot of them died. So now the ball's in our park, and we've got to do something about it.
Definitely. Now, do you think that the 20 and back program is still in full effect and that they are still abducting people to be slaves and soldiers on Mars and the moon and elsewhere?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a video out there by a man named Frank Celi. I'll get the name of it for you before I hang up, where he said in that video that the technology they have is about 1,000 years ahead of us. And that's why transhumanism becomes possible, because the robots that will be created are going to be so human-like that we're not going to be able to tell the difference. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Blade Runner. Did you ever see Blade Runner?
Yes, I have.
So you know the story, right?
Yes.
The story was that the robotic humans were so perfect that the only way we could tell them apart was a very sophisticated eye test using special eye equipment. Without that, there was no way to tell the humans from the robots. And that's where we're coming to. We're coming to that point right now. And Spielberg tried to tell that story with his movie AI. If you remember that movie, Artificial Intelligence?
Yes. Yes.
And then the new version of Blade Runner came out about, I think it was about 5 years ago.
Saw that, that one story as well. Was written, yes.
That story was written by Philip K. Dick, was one of the greatest science fiction writers, but he had insight. He knew what was going on. And that's where we're at now. And we're at the point now where artificial intelligence could take us over, I'd say in a matter of a year or two at this point, if we don't do something about it. Transhumanism.
Now, do you think that somehow CERN is involved in this? I know we were talking about quantum computing, and, you know, Jordy Rose called his quantum computer something like an altar to an alien god. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, CERN is involved. CERN is definitely involved. What they're trying to do is create the god, so-called god particle. And CERN is basically a Nazi operation. And also, you were talking about the psychiatrist and Operation Paperclip. You mentioned that, right?
Yes.
Well, when I wrote my book and talked about Paperclip, I just talked about the space technology and free energy. I didn't realize that part of the paperclip operation involved German psychiatrists and doctors. And those psychiatrists are the ones that went to work for the CIA and started creating the ability to abduct human beings and to program them and turn them into slaves. And that wasn't understood, because we never really understood that paperclip involved psychiatrists, but they did. They scattered throughout the planet and they became the psychiatric establishment all over the world. And they were part of the abduction program. They have been.
Yeah, and also, they were also, you know, dispersed in places that they could affect what we see everywhere. I mean, basically through TV, media, what we've learned in our history books, they've changed everything to suit their needs to make us basically a slave planet.
Exactly. And they also control the books that we use in our universities, in our science courses, in our psychiatric courses. They control it all. That's what I was trying to tell you earlier, is that it's hard to believe that they're able to do this, but they are. And one thing that David Icke talked about, have you had David Icke on your show?
He's going to be on next month.
Okay, well, don't miss that, because that's important. He knows a lot of stuff. He knows a lot of stuff. And one of the things that they have the ability to do, first of all, they, genetically speaking, they can create hybrids very easily. They create human reptilian hybrids. And it's the hybrids that control the military. They control finances. They control literally all the power points on the planet. The media, everything, are controlled by the hybrids. They're called the Illuminati. And ask David about that, and see if you can get him into talking about the Illuminati, because that's the important thing. We call them the elite because they're all very rich, of course, since they create the money, and they create Hollywood. They own Hollywood. They own the media. So that's how they keep us enslaved. Now, the other thing has to do with the fact that the reptilians that live underground here, it's not that very many of them, really. They may be in the hundreds of thousands at the most. But they have the ability to, first of all, they eat humans. They actually eat human beings. And a lot of the millions of humans that disappear every year, that's where they go. They're taken underground. And that's why they keep us around. They control us for that reason, mainly. So that has to be taken into account. So it's now, kind of a strange situation we're in.
I also hear that they also can feed off of our energy. Is that something you would agree with?
Yes. They call it loosh, L-O-O-S-H.
Right. Yes.
Negative energy. By keeping us in a state of fear and worry and anxiety, we create that. We create loosh, and they literally can harvest it. They live on our fear. Is what they, if you want to put it that way, that's exactly what they do. The other thing you have to remember on the moon and on Mars is this. The alien biotechnology, the German biotechnology, is so incredible that they create thousands of what we call cyborgs. Do you know what a cyborg is?
Yes, of course.
A cyborg is part human and part electronic.
Right.
And they're literally programmed to just do whatever they're commanded to do. And the cyborgs that they create on the moon and Mars are in great demand in different parts of this solar system and galaxy. And they're literally creating them and selling them or bartering them. So if they can start replacing humans on this planet with cyborgs, it'll reach the point where transhumanism will literally take over and the cyborgs will start to be in control. That's the danger. That's what we're up against here. And that's why AI is such an important subject right now. And I think you can understand why AI would be possible if they have computers that can run 4 quadrillion computations per second. You can imagine what they can do.
Well, today's society is already so immersed in their cell phones. I mean, the youth of today barely looks up from their cell phones, and you know, communication has completely changed among people thanks to this new technology.
Now just imagine, as that technology gets more and more sophisticated, what's going to be the next step as far as the cell phones go?
Well, we're going to be, you know, modifying ourselves to have it as part of ourselves.
Exactly. They will go. They will become part of us. We'll no longer have to carry them around. They're going to be inside of us. When that happens, then that truly will be the singularity. That's when the singularity will really happen. So that's what we have to look forward to if we don't figure this out quickly and start educating and training people quickly. If we can do that, we can literally create on this planet a Star Trek civilization, exactly the way Gene Roddenberry portrayed it, because he knew what he was talking about. That could be our future. We could have a Star Trek generation. Because we already have the technology. We can send starships halfway across the galaxy already. But we're under their control. We're still under their control. So,
what are your thoughts on that the Queen and the royal family may be hybrids, reptilian hybrids?
Look, I'll have to take David Icke at his word. I don't know anything about it. It's possible. Anything's possible. I know it's a very, very incredible story. It's hard to believe that the Queen could be a reptilian and that she drinks blood and eats human flesh. I don't know. How do I know? I do know that Princess Diana thought they were reptilians. She used to call them Lizzies. And so she must have known something about it.
Very interesting. Now, what are your thoughts
on this? She used to call them lizards, yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts on what's going on now with Trump and the QAnon phenomenon? If you think it's misdirection or if it's a real phenomenon that's, you know, people are really waking up to?
Misdirection, completely misdirection. QAnon is dangerous. It's a way to make us think that, yeah.
I agree. Now, I'd like to hear your thoughts on why.
Well, they know that we're into this kind of technology. They know that we're susceptible to believing it. And so they're putting out these strange statements, but it's fake. It's what Donald Trump would call fake information or disinformation, whatever you want to call it. I don't even know if he's part of it or not. He may be. Who knows? But I would not trust QAnon. No, that's my opinion.
Right. And I don't trust any president. To me, I still believe that they're all sort of puppets, and the real puppet masters, they're never going to make themselves known.
I agree entirely. So that's what we have to figure out. You know, the human race is potentially very powerful. And the reptilians know that. The reptilians do not have a soul like we do. We have a soul that originated in a very distant star system. And we have tremendous potential power if we could only learn how to use it. And that's why they know they have to keep us ignorant and keep us dumb and dumber. And that's what they do through Hollywood and through TV and everything. They keep us concerned about stupid stuff. Keep us stupid and stupider and completely obsessed with our daily problems of love and life and finances and health. And as long as they can keep us in that state, we can't do anything. So we've got to somehow break out of it. That's the key.
Well, then let's talk about that. Where do you see us going maybe in the next 5-10 years, and how can we break out of that? What are your thoughts on what we can do to make this situation better?
Well, we have a lot of friends in the galaxy, and they're trying to help us, but they can't do it for us. We have a fleet of spaceships called Solar Warden. Are you familiar with that?
I have heard of it.
Yes, and they're anti-gravity, they're free energy, and they can roam the galaxy. We do have that now. And if we could somehow bring our military people to come over to our side and not work on the other side and start using Solar Warden technology, we could take care of the problem. We could take care of the problem. But the information has to come out. And the more places it can come out of, you're not going to find it in the movies, okay? So don't even look for it there. Have you seen the movie Terminator with Schwarzenegger?
Of course, yes.
So you know that he was a cyborg, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so that was... Schwarzenegger knows a lot of stuff. And he made that movie for a reason, just like he made Total Recall for a reason, because Total Recall was also an important movie. I think you may remember that took place on Mars.
Right.
Remember that?
Of course.
If the cyborgs start to outnumber us, we're doomed. That's all I can say. Okay? And since it's getting harder and harder to tell a human from a machine, I don't know how it's going to end. I really don't. I really don't. Because our friends can't help us. They have technology that's equal to what the reptilians have. In fact, in some cases, it's better. But they can't do the job for us. They're really relying on us to reach the point where we can start to help them. And that could be our future. That could be the Star Trek generation. It's possible. It's possible that Spock was right, that we can eventually learn to live long and prosper. But we're not there yet. I can tell you that. We're definitely not there yet.
Right. I'd love to see that day. So, Mr. Kasten, for the last few minutes, tell us a little bit about your new book before you head out.
Well, when I finished my last book, I limited it to what was happening here on this planet because I did not know at that time what was going on Mars and the moon. I didn't have that information. But then I got that information between the time I finished that book and wrote this one. And that's what the new book is about. It's about what's going on the moon and Mars and the technology that they have. A lot of the things that Randy Kramer talked about, which you already know about that, right?
Yes, definitely.
That was why I wrote the new book, to get into those subjects. Because my last book, I limited it just to what was going on here on this planet. And I didn't understand what the whole story was until I did the research and got the whole story. And that's why I needed to write the new book. That's what made it necessary.
Very good. Well, Mr. Kasson, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. That was fantastic information. I'm going to have you back on.
Okay. Well, anytime you'd like to have me back, just let me know. I'll be glad to come back.
Very good. You have a great night.
Okay. And the name of my new book, by the way, tentatively is Dark Fleet, just in case you need to know that. It'll be on Amazon very soon.
All right. We'll be looking for it. You have a good night.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.